Members, please indicate their presence by voting. All members, please indicate their presence. The clerk, please lock the roll and tally the board.
26 members present.
We do have a quorum present to conduct business. The invocation today will be given by Reverend Wayne Coggins of the Cornerstone Ministry. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Our Heavenly Father, your word instructs us that a time would come when the stresses of life would cause even young men to faint. But we thank you that you went on to say that those who wait upon the Lord would renew their strength. They would mount up with wings as eagles. They would run and not be weary. They would walk and not faint. So, Lord, in these moments, we wait before you, acknowledging our need for strength, physical strength to be sure, but also strength of character, strength of conviction, and strength to be the leaders we ought to be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Coggins. Representative Terrio, would you please lead the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that this prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the record reflect that Representatives Coring, Hodgins, and Roakberg have been excused from the call of the House today. That Representatives Davies, Ogun, Sanders, Tyson, Masick, and Ryan are excused until plane time this morning, and I understand the plane is in, but a little late, so I hope they will be joining us before the session is over. And I would move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Williams be excused from the call of the House today.
Without objection, those members will be excused and shown excused. Clerk, please certify the journal for the previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 19th, 20th, and 21st legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the House Journal will stand approved. This brings us down to introduction of guests. Do we have guests today for introduction? Without guests, it brings us down to announce our messages. We have messages from the Governor.
There are no messages from the Governor, Madam Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other body?
There are no messages from the other body.
Do we have communications?
We received a message to Speaker Phillips pursuant to House Joint Resolution Number 54 of the 19th Legislature. The working group was assigned the task of examining the marketability of the huge North Slope natural gas resources, particularly to the Pacific Rim markets of Japan, Taiwan, and Korea. Hearing a working group report complete with executive summary minutes of the hearings and a copy of committee substitute for trade, which is the outgrowth of the hearings and research, were submitted to the speaker. The message was signed by Representative Barnes, Chair, Cabina, Senators Sharp and Duncan. I have no further communications, Madam Speaker.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 7, Victim Juvenile Offender Mediation, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 7 Judiciary with a new title. Attaches 6-0 fiscal notes. The report was signed by Bundy, Berkowitz, Croft, Green, Porter, and James. The report was signed, or recommending do pass, the report was signed by Green Chair. House Bill 7 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Catherine Casey Jackson by Representative Ivan. Honoring William Stroker Jr. Achievement 1997 Laureate, Alaska Business Hall of Fame 1997 by Representative Bryce. Honoring Jonathan Scribner by Senator Duncan and Representatives Elton and Hudson. In memoriam, Lance Edward Domanowski by Senator Torgerson and Representative Davis. In memoriam, Mary E. Polly Callenberg by Senator Halford and Phillips. I have no further citations for introduction.
Do we have bills today for introduction?
House Bill 102 by the House Finance Committee entitled An Act Abolishing the Alaska Medical Facility Authority and providing for an effective date.
That will be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 103 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Repealing Certain State Funds and Accounts and Boards Limitations and Programs Related to Those Funds and Accounts and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 104 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Repealing the Search and Rescue Fund Relating to Expenditures for Search and Rescue Activities and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 105 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Unorganized Borough National Forest Receipts Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 106 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Municipal Assistance Program and the Organization Grant Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 107 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Water Quality Enhancement and Water Supply, Wastewater, and Solid Waste System Grants and Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 108 by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Crime Victim Compensation Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 109 by Representative Terrio, entitled An Act Relating to the Management and Disposal of State Land and Resources Related to Certain Remote Parcel and Homestead Entry Land Purchase Contracts and Patents and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 110 by Representative Nicolai, entitled An Act Relating to Funding for Charter Schools.
State Affairs, the House Committee, and Finance.
House Bill 111 by Representative Nicolai, entitled An Act Relating to Educational Programs for the Alaska Native Languages, Culture, and History to Teachers of Alaska Native Languages and Alaska Native Culture and History and to Alaska Native Teachers.
Community and Regional Affairs, the HES Committee, and Finance.
House Bill 112 by Representative Veazey, entitled An Act Amending the Definition of Political Party, except as the definition of the terms applies to the regulation of contributions and expenditures in state and municipal election campaigns, an amendment that also has the effect of changing the definition of political organization as applied to the regulation of games of chance and contests of skill.
You referred to State Affairs Committee.
House Bill 113 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Extending lapse dates for certain prior year appropriations, making supplemental capital and special appropriations, and providing for an effective date. A letter was attached.
That will be referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Rice.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Can we briefly revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It is with great pleasure, and it's a deep honor for me to have a constituent of mine down from Fairbanks who is a recipient of the Milken Award. I'm sure that people will be hearing quite a bit about the recipients as well as what the Milken Award is in the next day or so. But it is an award honoring those people within our educational system that do fabulous things, that go the extra mile, and that seek new innovations within our school system. So it is with a great deal of pleasure that I would like to introduce to the body the Milken Award recipient from my district, Miss Freddie Buffmeyer.
Further guests, Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We also have several other Milken Award winners that I'd like to presume upon the representatives that actually are the representatives of these people, and if I could just introduce them and the rest of the group. We have with us from McGrath, Judy Kuhn. She's a primary teacher, has taught for 17 years, and she is also the 1997 Teacher of the Year. Judy, if you would please. From the Anchorage area, who has been in the educational system for 18 years, he's a primary teacher, teaches second grade at Susitna Elementary in Anchorage, is Dave Gillum. And from Bethel, with 24 years of teaching experience and newly involved in the immersion program they have in Bethel, is Lottie Jones.
Further guests for introduction? Representative Elton?
Madam Speaker, also in the Taylor Gallery behind me is my representative to the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly, and she is also an officer in the Alaska Municipal League. Please help me welcome Rosemary Hagevig.
Further guests for introduction? The House briefly stand at ease. Would Representative Barnes, Representative James, and Representative Foster please come here? Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
Financed by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Registration of Vehicles, to Municipal Taxation of Vehicles, and to Emission Control Inspection Fees for Vehicles, and Providing for an Effective Date. We're in third reading, Madam Speaker.
We are in third reading. This brings us to under debate. Representative Mulder.
HB 43 is really a technical cleanup. I hesitate to say that because whenever you hear those words on this floor, you kind of shudder and grab your bill pack and read furiously, because it generally means something's trying to be slid through unnoticed. But it really is a technical cleanup. Last year, when we passed a bill, Senate Bill 226, it allowed for biennial registration of automobiles as a time and cost-saving measure. We made an amendment up in House Finance Committee which exempted or allowed for the exemption of rental car fleets that they could register their vehicles annually as opposed to biannually, since many of those vehicles remain in the state for only a short period of time. In doing that amendment, we forgot, however, Madam Speaker, to make the allowance for municipalities to charge their tax upon the registration as well. And there are 13 communities throughout the state, Madam Speaker, which do tax vehicles within their proximities. So when we made the amendment, we inadvertently discarded or did not allow for that tax to be imposed. Within my own municipality, Madam Speaker, within Anchorage, we utilize those funds to run the clean air program. And without this correction, by reinstating this allowance for municipal tax, we stand to lose somewhere in the vicinity of $150,000 a year, a significant chunk of change in relation to monitoring clean air. Additionally, when we were doing this cleanup, Madam Speaker, the trucking organization came to us and asked for that same allowance, and it made a lot of sense in that, so you'll notice in one section of the bill, it allows for commercial vehicles. They also have the option of going for an annual or a biannual registration. The case was made to us that one particular operator, Tote, has a fleet that annually is charged $350,000 for the vehicle registration. So if you went to biannual registration, required them to register it in 1 year at $700,000, and that took away basically their operating capital for the year. So we made it optional for commercial vehicles as well. This bill, we did work with the Division of Motor Vehicles, Department of Public Safety. They are in support of this bill. And with that, Madam Speaker, I'd encourage members to support this measure, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Further debate? Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I do have a question. It's related to Section 6, which makes the Act retroactive. It's my understanding that retroactive taxes make it difficult for businesses to plan. I was wondering if the sponsor could speak to that point.
Representative Mulder?
Happy to, Madam Speaker. It's a good question. I'm glad it was brought up. Because this occurred last session and the news cycle is still in progress, it really was an oversight. In fact, when we put the bill in, the rental car fleets actually thought we were imposing a new tax on them. They didn't realize we had given them a loophole. So there wasn't any planning about it. And in fact, we're trying to put this through as quickly as possible so they don't ship a whole bunch of vehicles up here to fall into this loophole. We're allowing for the retroactivity, Madam Speaker, just for the allowance of those municipalities that want to look at it. It's not required, but they can look at it to see if it's within their interest to actually go back and look at whether they want to charge it or not. There might be only 12 vehicles that were brought in during this time period. There might be 1,000. If it's 1,000, it's worth their interest. If it's only 10 or 12, it's not. So the retroactivity pertains to that.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 43? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
35 yeas, 0 nays.
And so committee substitute for House Bill 43 passes the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on the passage of CS for HB 43 Finance. Be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, those citations are approved. Brings us down to unfinished business. We have unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following times. Representative Cubina from 1:45 p.m. Plain Time Friday, February 7th until 9:37 Plain Time p.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 9th. Representative Hodgins from 1:45 p.m. Plain Time Friday, February 7th until 9:34 a.m. Plain Time Monday, February 10th. Representative Hodgins from 6:45 p.m. Plain Time Thursday, February 27th until 9:34 a.m. Plain Time Tuesday, March 4th. Representative Osterman from 6:25 p.m. a.m. Plain Time Thursday, March 20th until 9:53 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, March 23rd. Representative Hodgins from 1:45 p.m. Plain Time Friday, February 14th until 9:34 a.m. Plain Time Monday, February 17th. Representative Ivan from 10:15 a.m. Plain Time Friday, February 21st until 12:50 p.m. Plain Time Sunday, February 23rd. Madam Speaker, I would ask and move and ask unanimous consent to amend Representative Hodgins' previously excused absence from returning on February 4th to a return on February 5th.
Without objection, those members will be shown as approved for their absences. Under unfinished business, I'm adding a Judiciary Committee referral to HCR 4. HCR 4 is a companion resolution to House Bill 6, which has a judiciary referral. HCR 4 is separate records for delinquents and CINA. Also, I'm adding a finance referral to HB 6, which has picked up a fiscal note, and HB 6 is same thing, release of information about minors. Further unfinished business? This brings us down to announcements. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Continuing with the recognition of members' birthdays, we actually have a birthday yesterday and a birthday tomorrow. So we will not, as we will not be meeting on either day, we'll have to recognize them now. And the first one, yesterday, was Representative John Davies. Showing, I guess, his innate appreciation, looking at people who were born on the same day, we have Farrah Fawcett and Christy Brinkley. Something to appreciate, I would think. In any event, showing the depth, of course, of the artistic and the musical depth of this person, we have James Joyce and Stan Getz, who were also born on this day. I think to indicate the significance of the fact-finding endeavors that this representative goes through in the committee process, the first lie detector test was given in 1935. Looking at personality traits and really what it is that represents this individual's savoir-faire, he is an independent thinker. And it says that, Representative, you have a pleasingly distinct way of thinking, working, and dressing, and you fiercely resist every attempt to make you adopt any particular style of dress or mode of behavior. And I think people who have served with this representative know that to be true. Now, on tomorrow, we have a new member of our body, Representative Ethan Berkowitz. Representative Berkowitz, in looking at the people who were born on his birthday, has undoubtedly the widest divergence of opportunity that I have ever seen. Philosophically, how would you like to be somewhere between Rosa Parks and Dan Quayle? I guess in tenacity, where would you like to be between Betty Friedan and Lawrence Taylor? Showing a commitment to excellence, Roger Staubach and Hank Aaron. Not bad. Perhaps indicating that he is in the right chosen line of occupation or avocation, I guess would be a better description of what we do. On this particular day in 1945, the Yalta Conference was held, but also George Washington was elected president in 1789. In looking at things that he should think about, though everyone admires your hard work and dedication, the logic behind your action is frequently incomprehensible, even to you. Now, I wouldn't make this up. But I guess representative of the fact that he is one of the few eligible bachelors in our midst, he should not try to win hearts by curbing his originality. The right partner will find your skewed, worldwide, and wacky approach uniquely appealing. If we could ask the members to join, rise and join us singing Happy Birthday to John Neeson.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, John Neeson. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Davies, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, thank you very much, and the Majority Leader for his diligent research. We appreciate that very much. And I did take the opportunity to go back and spend the weekend with my family and friends in Fairbanks, and I bring greetings to all of you from my friends and family in Fairbanks. Thank you.
Representative Berkowitz, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Given that I share this birthday with Rosa Parks and Dan Quayle, I understand why I spent so much time in the front of the bus learning how to spell potato. I'd like to thank the body for singing me a birthday song and invite everyone up to my office tomorrow and share some cake. Thank you very much.
Representative Martin?
May we go back up to introduction of guests for a very special introduction and announcement of a birthday?
Certainly. Representative Martin, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to introduce the young bride of Representative John Cowdery, who had a birthday yesterday. And I don't want to tell how old she is, but we want to wish her a happy birthday to Juanita Cowdery.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Thyssen.
Sorry, it's not a guest.
Okay. Further guests for introduction, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just saw a very dear friend of mine and one of the leaders, I think, of the state, Dorothy Allen, right back in here. She's just coming up here. Dorothy has been involved not only in politics but in things that are important to Juneau for as long as I've been in Juneau, and she's still doing it. I wish you'd help me welcome her here today, please.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Ivan.
Speaker, I just wanted to make sure that one of my constituents was not overlooked, and I thank my colleague from District 18 for introducing her. I just wanted to make sure she was recognized. Ledwina Jones from Bethel, she works at the Mikkelinget Lichtenauvet for small children.
If there are no further guests, this brings us back down to announcements. And to continue on my announcement on HCR4, it is in finance now. It'll go to judiciary and then back to finance. Representative Thyssen, announcements?
Yeah, thank you. On Wednesday, we'll be having the first meeting of the Children's Caucus this year. And in my absence, Tom Bryce will run the meeting, and it will have to do with a healthy Families program. There was three pilots going in the state, and pretty excited about what it's about. The reason I won't be there is I'm going to Washington to have breakfast with Bill and Hillary, the National Prayer Breakfast and National Leadership Conference. And if any of you have messages for either of them, I'd be glad to.
Further announcements or committee announcements? Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to remind the body that we are having an Administrative Regulation Review Committee meeting tomorrow at noon in the Capitol 102 building, and anyone that is interested in that, we're going to be talking about what we're going to do. So I just wanted to remind people of that.
Further announcements? Brings us to special orders. Are there special orders? Representative Terrio.
To address the body with regard to the House Finance bills introduced today.
Without objection, you have the floor.
The seven bills that were introduced today by the Finance Committee are the result of work done by a representative who chaired the Budget and Audit Committee for the past 2 years. What he has done is work with the administration in finding a number of funds that are inactive, haven't been used for a number of years, and they're being proposed for deletion. A number of the other things that deal with changing the wording in the statutes dealing with funds to a program. It's more of just a technical cleanup. We did supply the Finance Committee members a list of all of the things that were under consideration. And according to our legal department, because of the wide variety of subjects, we couldn't roll them all into one bill, and so that's why there are seven different bills. I would encourage the members to take a quick look at the legislation that's being proposed. I would like to have it heard up in finance as a package, and so I'd like to hear people's comments before we do schedule it. Thank you.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Permission to speak on the same subject.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you. I was under the impression when this subject was introduced in the Finance Committee that these bills would go to the respective committees that, for example, if it was a bill that affected the Department of Natural Resources, they would have gone to the Resources Committee. So I would like to inquire as to why all of these bills are coming straight to finance without having gone through the respective other standing committees.
Further special orders? Representative Hudson?
Madam Speaker, move back to announcements, please.
Without objection?
I believe Senator Murkowski's staff has set up some coffee, and I know we only have about 15 or 20 minutes, but it's in the Butrovich room, and you're all invited, and I just wanted to make certain because I don't believe that information got around.
Further special orders? Representative Cabina? House stand at ease. Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess until 10:50, which, as everyone should note, is only a few minutes.
We are recessed until 10:50 for the purpose of coming back to joint session with the Senate to hear the annual address from the Honorable Frank Murkowski. Please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of Uniform Rule 51, I turn the gavel over to the President of the Senate, the Honorable Mike Miller.
The joint session will come to order. The purpose of this joint session is to hear an address by United States Senator Frank Murkowski. Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the role of the Senate be waived and that all members be shown as present.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the role of the Senate is waived. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call of the House be waived and that all members be shown as present.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the roll of the House has been waived. Will Representative James and Senator Wilkins please escort Senator Murkowski to the chambers?
Thank you.
It is my pleasure to introduce the Honorable Frank Murkowski, United States Senator.
Good morning. It's certainly a pleasure to be here, Mr. President, Madam Speaker. I personally appreciate the introduction and the entry. It isn't very often somebody bigger than I. But I understand Gary's here, and you've made the door overhead 7 feet, something like that. So anyway, we grow up big in Fairbanks. Is that fair enough? Well, this is the 16th time that I've had an opportunity to share some of our mutual goals and aspirations, and I very much appreciate you extending me an invitation at this particular time. Nancy sends her regrets. She was coming, and then she looked at my schedule. It involves leaving here at 3:40 and then going down as far as San Francisco, because that's where you can get a flight to Washington, so you can get back at 5:23 in the morning. And she suggested that she'd like to spend a little more time up here. And as a consequence, I'm soloing the trip. But I would like to recognize Greg Rinkus. Greg has been with me 11 years and is the staff director for the Energy Committee. And Andrew Lundquist, who's my chief of staff. And they may bear some responsibility for my remarks today, so I wanted to be... I want to be sure and make that very clear. And, of course, Lucy and Elizabeth, whom you know, we very much appreciate the efforts that our congressional staff makes in representing the entire delegation here in Juneau. You know, we are about to embark on a new century and a new millennium. And I think it's kind of time to take stock in what's going on in our state and really to judge if it's the Alaska we had hoped would greet a new generation and a new century. And I was thinking when we put these remarks together that it's really a time to consider the problems which confront us and the many opportunities which challenge us. Over the time I've worked, as you have, both in the private sector and the public sector, to try and build a state that we can be proud of, and one that we want to pass along to future generations. Well, I think it's time now, perhaps, to share with you and reflect a little bit on the nearly 40 years of statehood and whether the intent of Congress and the framers of the state constitution are really being fulfilled in the ideas of those that spent so much effort on our behalf many, many years ago. We'd all agree that we've accomplished much, but there remains an awful lot to do if we're to really open that new century with a clean slate, ready to marshal the vitality and the wisdom and the hope to make this great land an even greater place to live and raise our families. Today, I'd like to review what we've done and give you my own view of where we ought to be in about the year 2000. And perhaps a little bit beyond. Last year, as you know, we succeeded in repealing the oil export ban on the strength of the delegation's new position of leadership, and we had a great deal of support from organized labor, which made the job a lot easier. As a result, I think we now enjoy renewed exploration and development and increased revenues to the state. That translates really into more jobs, more money to improve education, and fight crime and provide bigger dividends as well. For the first time in history, we were able to pass legislation to authorize oil exploration in the Arctic coastal plain, only to have it vetoed by our president. We authorized the sale of the Alaska Power Administration to the state so that the Juneau and Anchorage power users don't have to look to Washington, D.C. for their power needs. We won a $15 million or more a year commitment for rural water and sewer improvements. It was a joint effort, and it's one we hope to be able to deliver on year after year until the children in our rural communities no longer suffer from the dangers of hepatitis or other diseases. And we passed measures to benefit Alaska's natives, finishing some land trades, amending the Native Claims Settlement Act, and changing the federal funding formula for aid to rural areas, all aimed at increasing the quality of life and the quality of opportunities in Alaska's villages. and we accomplished dozens of other measures, more for Alaska than any Congress since perhaps 1973, when the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System authorized and passed. And that was working, of course, with Ted and Don. So from our point of view, at least mine particularly, it's been a good year for the state. However, the focus of the 105th Congress is now focusing on improving and really enhancing the quality of life for every American family and ensuring the financial security for all Americans. The twin pillars of our National Retirement Society, our Social Security system and Medicare, must be and will be preserved. And I'm committed to guaranteeing the long-term solvency of those trust funds without the smoke or mirrors that's often associated with Washington, D.C. As a member of the Finance Committee, I am committed to easing the economic burdens that taxes have imposed on middle-income Americans. I believe that Congress will pass a $500 per child tax credit for every American family so families can devote more of their earnings to their children rather than to Washington, D.C. We must make it easier to send to college the children by allowing educational investment accounts, similar to the IRAs, to induce and encourage individual savings. And I will work to ensure that Alaskans who participate in the state's prepaid tuition program will be able to use the proceeds from the plan without paying, hopefully, any tax. I'll also work to provide tax relief for students struggling to pay off their student loans. And finally, after failing one vote short last year, I believe that the Congress will adopt an amendment to the Constitution that balances the budget so that your children and grandchildren are not staggering under the weight of paying interest on a $10 to $15 to $20 trillion debt.
Thank you.
I begin with the observation that the millennium affords the opportunity to judge if we have really shaped Alaska, the Alaska we envision for the 21st century. Now, there are two issues where we clearly have not met the test, and the issue of subsistence and the meaning of Indian country in Alaska are what I have in mind. One of the key objectives of statehood was to assert control over fish and game. We had suffered for decades of resource failure as a territory, and we knew we could do better, and we have. Yet today, we are again under the cloud of regressive federal intervention. The federal government has already initiated jurisdiction of game management, and we are just eight months from the end of a moratorium that keeps the Department of Interior out of the management of our fisheries. Yet they are today circulating draft regulations to take over control. Well, I'm sure my vision encounter with your own vision of Alaska in the 21st century does not include a return to a failed, miserable federal management system overseeing Alaska's living resources. It's kind of interesting to go back three separate state administrations and four different legislative bodies have basically failed to resolve this problem. Yet most of the recent suggestions coming from administrations as diverse as the Hickel administration and Governor Knowles' administration have concluded that the state must make some changes and the federal government must make some changes as well. They have both recognized that we're in this thing together and we must come out of this together. I think this has gone on long enough. I want to do my job to resolve it, but I can't do my job without you doing yours as well. If you and the governor jointly tell me what changes you want in Anilka, I'm ready to act. A task force composed of you and the administration can surely come up with recommendations on how we, as opposed to outsiders, can resolve this issue. Last year, I tried something. I suggested a special master be appointed to make those recommendations. But after hearing from Alaskans, I'm convinced we should not risk the appointment of an outsider in a problem that's our own to resolve. We as Alaskans simply must solve this issue. We should not burden the next generation of Alaskans in a new millennium with the disputes over the meaning of Indian country. I wholeheartedly join the state administration and legislature in an effort to get the U.S. Supreme Court to review the Venati decision. This decision, if allowed to stand, will certainly create confusion and promote division among Alaska Natives and among all Alaskans well into the next century. I think you'd agree that the state's greatest responsibility is to defend its sovereignty. So I hope the state uses all its resources and the very best legal counsel to reverse the Ninth Circuit Court ruling. But while I oppose the ruling and believe it must be overturned, I strongly support additional local empowerment for Alaska's natives. Because my vision of Alaska, as is yours, is to ensure that the native peoples who have lived in this great land over much of the last millennium enjoy the opportunity to pursue their brightest dreams and their highest aspirations. And we've not been standing still in this area. I've had an opportunity to chair a number of hearings in Washington, D.C. and Alaska, where the central question was how to empower the villages to address their most pressing local needs. The Joint Federal-State Alaska Native Commission, which I had the pleasure of authoring, suggested that Alaska Natives gain greater local powers to handle their own affairs, their petty offenses, create dispute resolution bodies, solve alcohol problems, encourage job training, as well as economic development. So this is really the time that the Alaska Native community must give us their views, and we must listen to those views. I hope to meet with the Native Regional Corporation leadership and the AFN Board of Directors here in Juneau on February 18th, just a short time away. It's my intent to listen to the Native community with regard to this problem, because we all have, as I've said, an obligation to address it. So make no mistake, if the Venati situation, the decision specifically, is not overturned, we will then have to pursue a legislative resolve which incorporates the views of all Alaskans, and the needs of the villages as well. I want to leave no doubt in anyone's mind that ANSCA did not intend to create Indian country. Section 2B specifically says the claims settlement should be accomplished rapidly without establishing any permanent racially defined institutions, rights, privileges, or obligations, without creating a reservation system, and without adding to the categories of property and institutions enjoying special tax privileges. I simply can't support, in the broad sense, the creation of 226 separate sovereign tribes in Alaska, all with taxing powers, authority potentially over fish and game management, and criminal jurisdiction over Alaska citizens who are not members of the tribe. We don't have to accept this to promote local control and self-reliance in Village Alaska. And finally, we must provide Alaska Natives every opportunity to participate fully in our great state while protecting their rich heritage. But we need not settle for the conflict and uncertainty created with one legal opinion by three federal judges. You know, when we imagined what a new generation of Alaskans would face in the 21st century, we did not expect that we'd have to refight the battles we endured during the Statehood Act, ANSCA, the Alaska Lands Act. We had hoped the promises made to Alaskans in 1959, back in 1971 and 1980, would not be subject to reinterpretation or subject to renegotiation. But as those memories of those promises fade, we must take action to protect traditional access to our lands, gain in-holder access across federal lands, provide the use of cabins and camps, protect our rights to hunt and fish, and many more. We must protect the right of Alaskans set forth in Anilka from the erosion of time, and is often the case, the forgetful federal bureaucrats who obviously change and come.